Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam. Happy Tuesday to you. How are you doing this morning?
Morning, Rafael. Well, yeah, really well, thanks. How are you?
Fabulous. We are starting off with the story we kicked off with this morning, actually, at the top of the show. Colin Powell. A military icon, he's affected every single one of our lives, even if he may be far away in the United States, passing away at the age of 84.
That's true, and he was not exactly squeaky clean, but I'm thinking about the weapons of mass destruction speech at the United Nations, and he admitted that had been a mistake that would always haunt him, that essentially he advocated the case for the invasion of Iraq that plenty of other countries also then followed, and based on faulty intelligence. But I'm not going to say that's the only blip on his record, because it's a pretty major blip, but the things he did in the positive way are extraordinary, given that he was born into segregation in Harlem in New York, the son of Jamaican immigrants who absolutely taught him that with hard work you can do anything, and hard work and discipline, and it sort of led him to the military, his first experience of the military in Vietnam, where he formed the so-called Powell Doctrine, not that I think he ever called it that, only fight winnable wars when the public is on your side, which kind of makes sense when you think about wars that have been very unpopular. But, I mean, ultimately also, the first African-American chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, so the first African-American boss of the armed forces, the first black U.S. Secretary of State, a four-star general, a five-star diplomat. People sing the praises of how he absolutely knew that, you know, you had to pick up the phone and you had to meet people face-to-face, and he had a good relationship with the Russians, which one or two Secretary of States and others might like to think about now.
Right.
A Republican, but a stern critic of Donald Trump. All sorts of things you can sort of tick off on him. And overall, just looking at the tributes this morning, I mean, we've hardly done him justice in those few seconds, but talked about as a hero, a role model, a trailblazer, and yeah, oh boy, all of those, but COVID got him in the end. Gosh, isn't that awful?
Yeah, mostly because he was fully vaccinated. Mostly it's actually it was COVID-related complications, but because his blood count was, he had a serious cancerous condition, and his blood, he was more vulnerable. I think he was due to get his third shot, his booster shot next week, unfortunately. And yeah, he's one of the few people who remain vulnerable, despite being vaccinated, which is so sad. A chef's horror story. What in the world happened here?
Well, it's one of those things that sometimes, shall we say, missed communication can lead to trouble. And if you're in the Middle East and the police come calling, oh boy, in this case, a chef called Luke Tully, he was working in Dubai, running a restaurant. He received a message requesting a table for 10. Easy enough, except the person requesting it appears to have been someone that police had been following as a possible drug dealer. Somehow police in the UAE got hold of the text, got hold of the wrong end of the stick, and then beat about the bush with it. They basically took this request for a table for 10 as a coded request for 10 grams of cocaine. Luke was duly called on by the police. Tell us where the drugs are or we'll throw you off the balcony, he says they told him. He then was jailed. He spent 18 months in prison in Dubai, finally freed. He's back home in England. He spent £150,000 in legal fees. Prosecutors in the UAE are still appealing against that, are still trying to push for more. Not that they'll come and haul him out of England and take him to jail, but still. A pressure group called Detained in Dubai says, yeah, they've heard of this sort of stuff, and indeed they reckon hundreds of wrongful arrests are taking place every year, such as the crackdown on drugs and other sort of supposed Western misdemeanors. So, yeah, salutary tale. I mean, happy holidays if you're heading to Dubai.
18 months and hundreds of thousands. You can't get that back. I mean, the trauma. There's one thing that I'm very afraid of. It's being on the wrong side of the law in a foreign country, regardless of the country.
Yeah.
You know, I know my network here.
Yeah,
that's, ooh, that one and Thailand. Any Middle Eastern country and Thailand. Or Singapore, frankly. There are plenty.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Philippines,
one of these South American countries spring to mind,
That's actually true. Oh, it's a mess everywhere. Alrighty. Why are there protests against the Winter Olympics?
Well, it's all about China's human rights record and the human rights abuses that many people have talked about against the Uyghur Muslims and others indeed, and the crackdowns that we've had. I mean, it is odd, isn't it, that we live in a world where somehow Qatar can get the World Cup and Beijing and Russia can get the Olympics. It doesn't seem to matter, really, what you do in terms of oppression and repression. And so I think this will be the first of many. The flame was lit, basically, at the site at Olympia in Greece as the way of starting off the Winter Olympics for 2022. Obviously, the flame will go on and move around and end up in China. And there were protests. There were banners, and some people had to be dragged off by security. And it's going to be the first of many, because it is an extremely contentious decision to take the Winter Olympics back to China, albeit in, 15, 16 months' time. Expect more of that.
Sure. Okay. It's going to be quite busy heading up into Beijing 2022. Thank you so much to you, Adam Gilchrist. Always a pleasure. Have a wonderful morning and stay out of Dubai jail. My word. Cheerio.